Welcome to Author Voices on Air and the stories behind the stories of today's literature and their authors. A presentation of Author Solutions and its publishers. Our host today connects with the writer to share the vision and inspiration behind their works. Insightful, informative, and always entertaining. Please welcome our host for this week's edition of Author Voices on Air.
Welcome to Author Voices on Air, and I'm your host, Rick Bell. Our next book is Pips in the Wind. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, he encouraged his listeners to let God's gentle spirit flow through their lives. The fruit of that would be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, humanity, humility, and self-control. Joining me now to give us an insight into her book is the author, Catherine Wood. Welcome, Catherine. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Now, this is a book that has a lot to teach the listener. But let's first of all talk about writing the book. How did you first come up with the idea? And what was your biggest inspiration when you decided to write this book? How did it all begin?
I think it certainly began quite some years ago. I'm an Anglican priest and I was ordained in New Zealand, and I was working there as a parish priest. And I had a growing sense that people much more connected to stories rather than sermons. I don't know how many people ever listen to sermons or remember them. I don't even remember my own. But it felt to me as though people could respond to stories at much more at a heart level and make a heart response. And so I began to tell stories more than try to write sermons. And I've always been particularly inspired by Jesus stories. He told some brilliant ones, especially the parable of the prodigal son, which just encapsulated for me God's absolute love and forgiveness for everyone. And that's always been a great inspiration. And I just wanted, through stories, to express how much God loves and has deep compassion for every living thing. And I'd also been inspired by Paul's writing in Galatians, when he talks about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I began to sort of think more and more, if only we could open ourselves to God's Spirit to express that way of being in the world, just how different the world would be. And I'd been writing some stories, and I began to realize that the stories connected with some of those themes. So then I began to quite intentionally write a set of stories on the fruits of the Spirit.
And that has certainly been, shall we say, it's been a project, it's been a labour of love, is the terminology I was looking for.
It has indeed, yes.
So as you were emphasising there, that it's not just a book, it's not a novel with one continuous story, it is a series of shorter stories that are connected to each other. Would you say that's true?
Oh yes, definitely. It has that sense of, as Paul was trying to help the people of Galatia find a much better way of living, one that was filled with God's love. And he talks about the things that are difficult and destructive. But then he just talks about, and he says, the fruits of the Spirit is, and those nine virtues, really. And that was what really inspired me to reflect on those and think, how would each of those, how might that be expressed in our own lives? And I wrote the stories reflecting on each one, both from as though it were people, and also animals, in a sense of trying to help people have a sense of how deeply connected we all are. You know, all people, all life, all animals. And if only we could rediscover that sense of interconnectedness, how how deeply connected all life is within the embrace of God's love, then that might, again, try to help people connect.
And who would you say the intended readership is for this book? Who would it appeal to, in your opinion, and why?
Sure. It has a deep sense of care of creation and connectedness and care for all life. My hope is that I could just offer a sense of what life might be if every living thing, every animal, every plant, every tree was embraced in our respect and care rather than exploitation. There is so much abuse and so much harm and hurt. But the fruit of the Spirit would enable people and encourage people, I think, to regain a deep sense of respect for all life. So I think anybody who is looking for a way forward in terms of the environmental crisis that we face, the deep need for us to change, but I believe at a heart level, if change, I don't think change that's driven by guilt or fear is at all sustainable. But when people reconnect with a sense of love for nature and love for one another and love for God, then that will sustain us in the huge changes that we need to make and need to make now. We can't put that off any longer. So anybody who is concerned for those sorts of things, and particularly the environmental crisis, I think hopefully the stories would be of help for them.
Without giving us too much of what the book's about, without giving too much away, do you have a favourite part of the book that inspires you as the author?
Well, there was one part that I did quote for a press release, because for me it's very easy to, and I know this for myself, when I see terrible harm being done, it's easy then to go into some kind of condemnation. But I know from my work as a prison chaplain that very often people who do harm to others have been harmed themselves. And many of the men that I met in prison were deeply wounded souls who, more than anything, needed to be loved and cared for rather than condemned and punished. And in one of the stories, I try to bring that out in terms of there's a developer, basically, or a man who has great plans for a plot of land that he's bullied some old people off. And the neighboring woman, Sophie, is putting out trying to stop it, basically. And he gets very angry about that. And she invites him to spend 5 days and five nights just on the land, effectively being there. Of course, his intention is to bulldoze the trees to build this great house for himself. So she invites him to just stop and to be on the land. And so he agrees, she'll feed him, she'll look after him, she'll meet his basic needs. All he needs to do is just stop and be there. And he's very agitated. I mean, he thinks, oh, you know, fine, I can do that for a few hours, but then he wants to take off. And she said, no, that's not the deal. She agrees to withdraw the objection if he, in fact, will do this. And it's in the doing it, he, for the first time in his life, he sees a robin. And he experiences some of the wildlife on the land that he wants to just decimate, basically. And in one of the conversations he has with Sophie, she actually asks him about his childhood. And she'll actually, have I got time just to read you this bit?
Yes, of course.
Okay. She says, tell me about your childhood, said Sophie, as she buttered a third round of toast. I can't remember anything, replied Tom immediately. Just try, probed Sophie gently, and take your time. And in the peacefulness of Sophie's caravan, with his hands warmly wrapped around another mug of tea, Tom began to tell her about his high-flying father and all the new jobs that he had had. Better money, each time with a bigger house and car. And as Tom went quiet, Sophie asked, and how many times did you lose your home? And in that recognition that Tom had gone into this highly defensive, disconnected place was because of all the losses of his own childhood. And he was trying to cover and heal his losses by, you know, basically, you know, making a lot of money, pushing people out of the way, completely disconnecting with any other form of life and just getting what he wanted. Now, that is a very familiar story to me, where people who exploit and abuse are doing it because of their own woundedness. And if only we can together seek God's healing and God's love and compassion, then I believe we would be on the road to a much gentler and kinder world.
Very wise words indeed. It's going to be difficult to follow that up, but my next question really is in two parts. When you're writing a book, some books are easy to slot into a particular genre or category. But if I was to ask you to answer this next question, which, as I say, is a question in two parts. First of all, tell me how you would introduce this book to a friend or an acquaintance or our listeners. That's one part of the question. And also, tell me how you feel this book differs from other books on similar topics. So it's a double-sided question there for you.
Was that a question? Okay. I would tell a friend that they're a set of short stories that in each of their different ways is about God's love and compassion for all creation and how we might grow into that, how we might release that spirit of love into our own lives, and then reflect that in our lives. So the second part of your question? Sorry.
That's okay. How would you say that it differs from other similar books?
Yes. There are some wonderful books out now about certainly the environmental crisis and spirituality and connecting spirituality with Mother Earth and nature. A lot of those books are very factual about the terrible problems that we face. And other books are wonderful in the way that they offer what we can practically do. I think these stories are more trying to help us deepen our spiritual roots in God's love. My hope is that they might make a heart connection so that I think stories have an immense power to touch our hearts. As said, like with Jesus' parables, and particularly the one about the prodigal son. And they can touch hearts in a way that just perhaps facts and data don't.
Very good answer. Now let's go back to before the book was printed and published and ask you about the experience of writing this book. Now I know prior to this that you have enjoyed writing short stories for many years, but this is the first book that you've had published. So tell us about some of the hurdles, some of the challenges that you faced when you were writing this book.
On one level, the writing of the stories was probably the easier part. It's interesting. On one level, I do write stories, but much more I feel as though I listen for them. It's almost as though the stories are there, and in a silent and more meditative place, it's as though I get a sense of what a story is beginning to be about. And it's as I start to write it, it almost writes itself. And then, of course, I have to, you know, work on the actual language, the style, the editing, and, you know, all of that, with the help of kind other people as well. But the stories themselves, it just feels as though they're there. And it's like almost like I have the gift of antennae that I can kind of tune into them. But then the difficulty more was the sense of wanting to share those with other people. And obviously the best way to do that is to try to get them published. I discovered along the way after, you know, as many authors face, you face multiple rejections, But what I did discover along the way, with the help of a commissioning editor of a small Christian publisher, because some publishers were quite affirming of what I'd written, but they said that it doesn't suit our lists, or it's not what we're about, or it's not what we publish. And I gathered that publishers have lists, and if your work doesn't connect with what it is that they intend to publish, irrespective of it being of any quality, you're not going to get it published. And she kindly suggested that I self-publish. And she said that it has much more respectability these days than perhaps it once had. And I've since discovered a number of other people who have gone down this route. And in the end, it felt like the way to go. And, you know, I'm so grateful to my publisher for how much, you know, kindness and help and support they've given me along the way.
What I would like to know now is, for you, you had written the book, you'd written the manuscript, all the editing was done, and finally, there in front of you was your book printed and published. Tell me about that. How did that feel?
Hard to put into words, in a way. On one level, a sense of it's done. It's been a project that's gone on for so long, and you know, with a number of rejections along the way, and now here it is. There are some people who have believed in it, who have affirmed it, who have said yes to it. And my hope of being able to, through the stories, share the awesomeness of God's love, it felt like that was being carried on the wings of the wind, and now hopefully it could fly to whoever it is intended for.
Excellent. If you could write, if you were planning to write another book, what do you think that book would be about? Do you think it would be maybe a series of short stories? Do you think it would be possibly a sequel to this book? What kind of thing could you see yourself writing in the future, if that happens?
Yes, I think I really resonate with short stories. There are some marvellous novelists out there. I don't think a novel is quite... I connect much more with encapsulating an idea or a dream or a hope in a short story. I have some ideas for some more stories. I haven't had the time to really sit down and do the hard work that goes with the idea. I hope before too long that I'll be able to do that, but just at the moment, that's a little difficult. But certainly the ideas are bubbling away, and I have some ideas for some stories. One of the things I'm wondering about is another set of stories around the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the meek. That set of blessings that Jesus expressed in Matthew.
So you do, in fact, unknown to yourself, you do, in fact, have the very idea for a book. So you can give that some thought. Now, in closing, we've talked in detail about this wonderful book and about yourself as the author. Although you've written stories, this is your first time publication. But is there anything that we haven't talked about that you would like our listeners and your readers to know about this book?
Just one thing feels really important to me in the midst of a hope that it might help people connect with a sense of their own deep respect for life. That in the midst of what we're facing at the moment in terms of the environmental crisis, people can end up feeling so helpless and so powerless. I'd really long to encourage people to know that we're not powerless. As science is discovering more and more about human consciousness, we're discovering that all life is about energy, and we can influence one another through the energy of our thought process, our actions, our dreams, all that we are can go out there to influence the whole. And so our every thought, our every act that we do for kindness. Aesop said that no act of kindness, however small, is ever wasted. And there is that sense that we can take we do have power, we're not helpless. And as we put into the stream of human consciousness every act of love, of respect, of compassion, we are helping to change human consciousness for the better. And so it's what every one of us can do through our thoughts and our actions and our prayer.
And while I remember, am I right in thinking you have a website? Would you like to tell listeners how they can find your website?
Yes, certainly. It's www.fruitofthespirit.uk.
Thank you for that. Pips in the Wind is published by Author House and is available direct from the publisher at authorhouse.com/bookstores and all good book stockists. I would like to thank my guest today, the author Catherine Wood, for joining me and for sharing her journey that became this book. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
This is Rick Bell for Toginet Radio 2.0. Thank you for listening.
Join us again next week at the same time as we explore the passion and inspiration behind the works of today's authors right here on Author Voices on Air.